This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin's current two-year state budget is projected to have a $3.25 billion surplus at the end of the budget cycle. That's pretty high, though it is $800 million less than what was initially predicted, according to a new estimate from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-controlled legislature still disagree on what exactly to do with that surplus. Here's Republican State Representative Mark Bourne on WPR's The Morning Show on Monday.
In our budget, we spent a lot of money on a lot of important areas, infrastructure, education, health care. We had a big tax cut in there. The governor vetoed most of it. We've sent two tax cuts to him since then. This will be the third attempt. We keep modifying it, hoping we can find the right package that the governor will support, because we think coupled with that spending, it's important to have tax relief.
A public policy expert joins us now for a look at the latest Republican tax cut proposals, what it could take to come to an agreement with the governor. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How would you like to see the state budget surplus used, if at all? Do you want to see some kind of tax cuts? If so, is there an income range you have in mind that you would like to see benefit from that? Are there places where you'd like to see the state invest? The governor's called for more investment in things like childcare access, for example. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mike Ford is an associate professor of public administration and director of the Whitburn Center for Governance and Policy Research at UW Oshkosh. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Rob.
It seems like an okay position to be in, having a budget surplus. Where does something like this come from?
I was going to say, the only thing more dangerous than a government without money is a government with a lot of money, right? So basically, this is a result of economic conditions being favorable the last few years. It's a result of arguably underfunding, maybe not underfunding, but conservative funding of local governments and K-12 education. But bottom line is tax projections were higher than we thought. So we've had this surplus now for a few years.
Right. And then the question is, when this sort of thing comes up, what, if anything, should we do with it? Before we look at specific ideas about tax cuts or spending, there's sometimes a temptation to take on new long-term commitments, like we're going to have tax cuts on into the future or spending commitments on into the future. Maybe that surplus won't be around. How do you weigh, you know, spending, making one-time tax rebates or one-time investments in infrastructure versus taking the surplus and extending something new out into the future?
Yes, it's incredibly important to be disciplined. You cannot create a new program if you haven't identified a permanent funding source. Now, often that's an afterthought in the political process because people want to score those political points. But bottom line is we won't have a surplus forever. And if we do use the surplus for ongoing programming, we're going to be back into a position of having a deficit in the next biennium. So it's really important that our legislators are disciplined and use this for one-time projects and not long-term programming.
All right, let's look at tax cuts in particular. Now, back in 2021, the budget passed by the legislature, signed by Governor Evers, did include some tax cuts then. There have been proposals now from Republicans for new rounds of tax cuts. Governor Evers has vetoed them. I think a lot of the argument is over who benefits from the tax cut, who counts as middle class if we're focusing on middle class tax relief. Can you talk about what you've seen in these proposals and this ongoing back and forth we're in?
Yeah, you certainly see among the Republican tax cut proposals checking off a lot of boxes for voters and constituents. And what I mean by that is we have a proposal to raise the middle income tax bracket from $38,000 to $150,000 maximum. So essentially what this would mean, it would lower the tax rate for a lot of people, their income tax from 5.3% to 4.4%. You also have an increase in the married couple tax credit, an increase in the child care tax credit, and then some tax relief for retirees on their first $75,000 of their retiree income. So certainly the Republicans are pursuing a philosophy of trying to put this money back into the pockets of their key constituencies.
Governor Evers hasn't said a lot about this latest proposal. It dropped just pretty soon before his State of the State address. It wasn't reflected in his State of the State address. Do you see on the political side of things here, this latest proposal from Republicans being something that a Democratic governor like Tony Evers might find a little more plausible?
I think he'll find some of it plausible. I find it really hard to believe that he's going to support all four of these measures. But if you look at some of the statements in the State of the State address, the one thing that really stuck out to me was his comments about investing in childcare and framing that as a workforce development issue. That aligns pretty well with what the Republicans are proposing in terms of tax cuts for childcare. So that's the one policy area where I really do expect there to be some type of compromise.
Governor Evers is, I think, has made the case in the State of the State address for putting state money into creating more childcare options for people. How do you view that as a solution versus saying, hey, here's tax credits for the childcare you're paying for? Is either of them, do you think, a better tool to address what I think a lot of people agree is a shortage of childcare in Wisconsin?
I think you're hitting on one of the great philosophical divides among the Democratic Party and the Republican Party here in Wisconsin. So even though we have agreement on this policy area that it is important, it oversimplifies things a little bit, but Republicans tend to want to put that money back into the pocket of the individual and let their choices guide how the service is delivered, whereas the Democrats are trying to invest in new programming. But that said, I don't think they're that far apart. And once you get politicians on different sides of the aisle to agree to something in concept that's it's important, that means the voters tend to care about it. That means it's ripe for some type of compromise.
As you look at the potential numbers, if this Republican plan passed as written, signed by Governor Evers as written, what do you see as the impact on our budget? Does it use up that surplus? Do you see it endangering future budgets?
I do. So if you look at the overall fiscal impact, $2.1 billion is the immediate cost. And now that's in line with the surplus that we do have. So over the next biennium, it's not going to be an issue. But the ongoing cost of these tax cuts was estimated by the Fiscal Bureau to be about $1.4 billion annually. And those are revenues that the state's going to have to come up with in future budgets. And if we're in a position where we don't have these surpluses, that money's going to have to come from somewhere. And that could mean cuts to other areas in state government.
Talking to Mike Ford from UW Oshkosh with the Whitburn Center for Governance and Policy Research there, looking at Wisconsin's budget surplus, proposals from Republicans for a new round of tax cuts, Governor Evers talk in the State of the State address about using some of that surplus for investments in things, including not just child care. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see tax cuts? And if so, who should get them? Do you want to see investments in particular areas in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now with Ted on the line in Racine. Ted, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to suggest?
So because of the voucher program, cities like Racine and Milwaukee, Racine specifically, we're like $20 million deficit, and it's almost dollar for dollar from the new voucher deal. And so I would like to see some of that surplus funneled back into education just to deal with the public education deficit.
Ted, thanks a lot for the call. Mike, Ted pointing toward yet another hugely contentious area in state government, public versus voucher schools, who gets what money. Some money went into public schools in the last budget round, some additional money, I believe. What do you think of that idea, trying to backfill money that public schools, Ted says, are losing to vouchers?
Yeah, I think what we're ultimately talking about here would be property tax relief. The way the statewide voucher program is funded, there's an aid reduction to school districts, but that aid is offset in most districts by the local property tax. So I think what you would see if there was an investment in education to offset the impacts of the voucher program, that would primarily show up as property tax relief as opposed to new funding that schools can actually use.
Thanks a lot for that call, Ted, at 800-642-1234. Barry joins us now in Viroqua. Barry, hi.
Yes, good afternoon. I have been frustrated with our non-equalization or non-equal treatment in the country since the 1980s with so many tax cuts at the feds and the state level. And what I would like to see is an emphasis on child care. We have so many kids in poverty, African-American kids that come into school ill-prepared, language deficits, and what we need to do is provide quality care for these kids that they can come in with proper language skills. skills, vocabulary, interpersonal play skills, et cetera. And that can best be done through childcare and not some tax credit that would not even be eligible for a lot of people that are not in the workforce, I presume.
Barry, thanks a lot for the call. Mike, I've heard the case from early childhood education advocates over the years that spending in this area is an investment. It's going to save the state money in terms of, you know, better educational outcomes, jobs, maybe avoiding the people ending up in the criminal justice system, that kind of thing. Your thoughts on that idea of investing, as our caller says, in childcare and early child education?
Yeah, that's certainly the framing that more and more, both Republicans and Democrats, to be honest, are using right now. That childcare and investing in childcare, investing in early education is about long-term workforce development. And I do think that the more that conversation shifts from it being seen as some type of welfare entitlement and more a workforce development strategy, you'll start to see more support for those types of investments.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Mike Ford, Associate Professor of Public Administration, Director of the Whitburn Center for Governance and Policy Research at UW-Oshkosh. He's with us for a look at the state budget surplus, and Republican tax cut proposals here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on tax cuts in Wisconsin, the idea of saying the middle class, well, it goes up to $150,000 for married couples, lowers the bracket for a decent number of people. That's one of the proposals. How about how retirement income is taxed? Is this something that you're looking at right now, and maybe it's part of your decision on where you want to live? Join in with your thoughts on what you want to see done with the state's budget surplus, if anything, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Mike Ford, Associate Professor of Public Administration and Director of the Whitburn Center for Governance and Policy Research at UW-Oshkosh. We're talking to him about the state's budget surplus, Republican proposals to put some of that money toward tax cuts. Governor Evers saying some spending, we could meet some needs in the state by tapping into that surplus. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Would a child care tax credit help you and your family right now? How about cutting taxes for retirement income? Would that affect your decision on whether you stay or go when it comes to Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Mike, I want to bring up that that retirement income thing you mentioned earlier. Speaker Robin Voss had suggested that that he's hearing from people that, hey, they're thinking about where to retire, and they're looking at the state's tax burden on retirement income as part of that. Is that something that could make a difference on keeping retirees here in the state?
Absolutely would make a difference, I think, in retaining people. Now, an anecdote's not evidence, but my parents, who are in their 70s, were visiting me over the weekend, and they live in Minnesota, and one of their complaints was getting their retirement income taxed, and they didn't have that where they used to live in Illinois. So I really do think with retirees, that is something that drives their decision-making.
Let's go back to our callers. Kyle is with us in Western Wisconsin. Kyle, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Kyle?
My question is when we have these surpluses, whether it be state or federal, why can't we go to pay down debt?
So this works a little differently. Thanks for that call, Mike, a little differently at the federal and state level. We've got this annual deficit in federal government and a running debt. We can't really do deficits in the same way here in Wisconsin, can we?
Correct. We cannot. We don't have the capacity to print money. And I always laugh when legislators say they're going to run on balancing the budget. And I say, well, you have a constitutional obligation to do so, so you will. We do always have a balanced budget, but it does matter how you balance a budget. Do you do it responsibly or using your credit card to pay your operating costs?
Right. Thanks again for that call. It's not to say the state doesn't owe money. We can things that we can do to level out what we pay, long-term financing. I can't think of the right word right now, bond issues and things like that. The state does have some kind of debt in effect, but those payments are factored into our annual budget. Do I have that right?
You do have that correct.
Thanks again for that call. Something a little weird for phone lines. I can't tell where this next caller is from, but Dick, you're on the line. Hi.
Hi. So my question, if I go back to the child care issue, I can certainly see where if we spend the surplus on that, it could lead to a future deficit. But I also see if we give permanent child care credits, that's going to lead to a future deficit. And that's going to result in a reduction of other key government services. So I find some of these arguments to be a little bit disingenuous. And I guess I'd like to hear your colleagues comment on that.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, well, as I tell my budgeting students, resources are finite, needs are infinite, and values are contested. So we are always going to have politics driving some of these resource allocation decisions. And something we haven't talked about, but I think is relevant, is both the Democratic ideas and the Republican ideas that are being pushed here are designed to try to stimulate the economy. At least that's the argument that's being made. So the hope is that these changes will stimulate economic activity and generate more tax revenue in the future.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the state budget surplus, plans for what to do it, including tax cut proposals coming from Republicans in the state legislature, some investment ideas from Governor Evers. Still time for you to join in with your thoughts, your agenda, your questions at 800-642-1234. Mike, there is a rainy day fund. Unlike the old days, it actually has some money in it now. So I think policymakers are looking at the budget surplus and saying, well, we can't do nothing with it. Can they do nothing with it?
They could. They could sit on it and they could put that all in the rainy day fund. But you are correct that it's you don't want to put all that money and be hoarding the people's money, because everyone invests treasure and time and whatever, agree to the rules of the society to be part of a governed society. So I think it is important that they do find something to do with that that money, given the health of our rainy day fund.
What would that be if we don't want to make a lasting long-term commitments that could lead to structural deficits in the future? Are there effective ways to do something now, but not commit ourselves down the road?
I think infrastructure is always the go-to with this. It includes being able to push some of these state funds into local governments and possibly even into K-12 education to help pay for one-time infrastructure projects. I think we've seen some of this happening with the federal ARPA funds that have been invested by local governments across the state in infrastructure projects. But the ability for the state to fund some of those would go a long way towards providing some relief for local residents without creating long-term programming costs.
Got an email from Matt who says, how about Republicans ask the governor what he wants in the deal? Why are you guessing? Matt says to legislative Republicans. Now, this is getting to the politics side of things, Mike. Communication lines not famously open between the Democratic governor and the Republican legislative leadership. Do you have any sense that could change? That they could, you know, do something crazy like sit down at a table and compromise?
At some point, they're going to have to, right? Maybe that's wishful thinking, but I do think one of the benefits of a state budget and of these state financing decisions is it's the one thing that has to get passed. So at some point there will be that reckoning where, as long as you have split control with a Democrat in the governor's office and Republicans in control of the legislature, there is going to be a point where they're going to have to get a final budget finished next time around and find a way to spend these funds. So maybe that'll take a while, but eventually we'll get there.
Now, as you mentioned, you work with your students and talk about budgeting and how these things are done. Are there things that you wish the public understood a little more about how a thing like a state budget operates?
Oh, there's so much that I wish they could understand. And that's not knocking on the public. Mm-hmm. To me, that's more of a transparency issue, that it can be really difficult, I think, for people in positions of leadership in local and state government to explain the differences between operating expenditures and capital expenditures. And I think the more that we could do to educate the public about the difference between an ongoing cost and a one-time cost, I think that would go a really long way to making sure that we're not just using surpluses like this when we have good times to create future problems.
And I want to get your thoughts on a big change that came to Wisconsin attached basically to this latest budget, shared revenue, this thing where, okay, local governments, we're going to take your local sales tax revenue here and other revenues, income tax to the state, but we're going to distribute it back to you in a way that you need. Local governments have been complaining for a long time that they weren't getting enough coming back to them. Big change. How do you see that going so far? Is that something that you think is going to partially or mostly address the concerns that local governments had about their funding?
Well, I would have an angry cadre of alumni that are city managers yelling at me if I said it solved the problem. But it certainly helped address the problem. Shared revenue was frozen and cut. Basically in different times going back to the early 2000s. So there certainly was a need for some of this relief. And the thing that was passed provided additional funds via shared revenue, but they targeted it towards public works and law enforcement. And those are the two areas that tend to cost the most because it's people and it's stuff. So I do think that there is a lot of local government people feeling relief for some of these costs that they didn't know how they were going to cover.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Rob.
That's Mike Ford, Associate Professor of Public Administration and Director of the Whitburn Center for Governance and Policy Research at UW Oshkosh. We talked to him today about how Wisconsin might use the state budget surplus, including recent Republican proposed tax cuts, and what it could take to get those approved by Governor Evers. Still time for you to share what you want to see happen, if anything, with Wisconsin's budget surplus, or following up on what I was just talking to Mike about, if there's something you wish you knew more about how it worked when it comes to how the state gets and spends its money. Either way, you can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. If you have some questions, we can hopefully pursue those on a future show.